Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to understand ourselves, deepen our relationships, and strengthen our emotional well-being. Thank you for tuning into Calm, Clear, and Helpful, the weekly podcast series introducing you to wellness professionals, offering their expertise and assistance. This week's podcast is one with a difference. I find myself answering questions instead of asking them. Entrepreneur and business consultant Michael Glenister interviews me on the Journey to Here podcast, focusing on my journey from being a magazine journalist to becoming a podcast host and owner of a wellness platform. Michael called this episode, What to Do When Your Career Ends Overnight, the 5-step pivot framework. We speak about the retrenchment moment I faced at the age of 60 and the process of rebuilding my identity and discovering the value I could offer to my audience and the wellness experts I feature. I hope you enjoy our conversation and that you'll spare a thought for me for being the one under the spotlight. Here we go.
Joining me today for a conversation is Mariëtte Snyman. And the reason we've got Mariëtte in studio today is in 2020, her world changed. And went through retrenchment and having to reinvent herself and find her feet again. And she completely pivoted, created a new life at a time when many people would struggle, at an age when many people would struggle. And the reason we've brought Mariëtte to chat to us is we know that there are many people that are sitting in similar positions, whether it's retrenchment due to economic conditions, whether it is cost cutting due to the advent of AI, but many people are sitting in the same boat. And the question is, how do you do it? Well, Mariëtte has not only done it, but she's done it with aplomb. So with no further ado, Mariëtte, you were retrenched in 2020, and it was a year that was crazy, challenging for so many people. What I'd like you to do for our audience is take us back to that moment. You join a meeting that is supposed to be a routine meeting, and you're expecting the usual editorial meeting. And all of a sudden, the bomb is dropped. What went through your mind at that moment?
Yeah, thank you for your generous introduction, Michael, and hello to everyone watching. I was in two minds when you asked me to talk about this, because I have taken some steps to forget that moment, you know. But I sat last night and tried to remember. And the first thing I must say is it was my first online meeting ever, first Zoom meeting, because it was COVID. And if people will remember, this was in May 2020. So it was a couple of months into COVID. And the team on the magazine where I was working at that time, we had just been working from home for, I think, about 2 months. So now we were asked to join this meeting. And as you said, we thought this was going to be an editorial meeting. And lo and behold, within the first 5 minutes, our editors said that the magazine was closing down. So yeah, that is a great shock. We had actually seen the writing on the wall, but I don't think one takes notice of that in to the extent one should, because there's always the hope, you know, maybe it's not as bad as it looks. But I think the fact that in South Africa, magazines were not allowed to be sold during the COVID lockdown, that probably was sort of the last straw that broke the camel's back. So, yeah, I think shock all round. And what am I going to do now? I think that is what most people is the first thing you think. You think of survival, you think of financial survival, you think of if you're responsible for others, which I'm luckily my children were not dependent on me anymore, but I would say shock all around.
And I can hear underlying your answer there is that the questioning, that you start those questions, those internal questions, and it's the survival. What am I going to do? What are people going to think? You know, before you got to that point, you were a very successful journalist. You were well published. You had been in, how long had you been a journalist, Mariette? A long time. It was a career-long thing.
Well, I must tell you that I started out my career as a stay-at-home mum, and I'm very proud of that. So, and before that, I was a teacher for a while. So, in 1995, I started freelancing for this glossy magazine, the South African Afrikaans magazine called Rooi Rose, which is translated as Red Roses. Long story, but I freelanced for 5 years, and then I was in a full-time position for 20 years, and then we got this message.
Wow. So it's a long career, and without giving away age, you weren't young when this happened. So it's one questions your relevant place in life. And one of the things that we have come to experience from you is how good you are at storytelling, and not just storytelling, but conveying people's narratives and people's stories. And if we listen to the guests on your podcast, which we thoroughly enjoy, if our listeners haven't discovered you yet, really they need to follow your show as well. But with this ability to craft narratives, how did that help you in creating a new life script for yourself and creating a new narrative for Mariette Snyman and the people around you? How did that help you with basically moving forward and starting again?
It's very interesting that you ask me about the narrative, because that is something I don't really consciously think about. I think it's just I'm so curious always about other people's stories and how they transcend challenges or how they react to them. But in my case, I must immediately say, you know, there are different factors when you get retrenched. One of them is how easily are you going to get another job? I think that's a huge thing. And for me, I was 60 when I was retrenched. That was now 6 years ago. And the first thing I thought was, well, I was going to retire, to have to retire at 65. And I had not so much a plan as a great desire for what I wanted to do when I was 65. And just to summarize it, in 2015, which was 5 years before I got retrenched, I had a very interesting experience. I described that under About on my website, where I ended up one night with a live spider in my hair. And then it was the strangest thing. The next morning, I woke up with this desire. I knew I wanted to create a healing website for, at that stage, I thought, for younger people, a place where people could come and, in the privacy of their home, you know, find problems addressed, especially emotional problems, and find some relief and realize that I'm not alone. You know, there's nothing wrong with me if I have this problem. And long story short, I had done an online course immediately in 2015 after that strange experience. And the course was how to create an online business. So I spent a lot of time on that. And then I didn't create the business. So that was, and I thought at that stage, it probably wasn't the right time. And so that was on the back burner. And the moment I heard the magazine was closing, I thought, there the door is going to open. And
I think you, if I may, you've hit on something that I think bears remembering. You already had a plan B, as it were. Maybe not completely formulated, but you'd already done the homework to do the research. You'd educated yourself on what to do, how to do it. You had a vision for what you wanted to do that stretched beyond your 9-to-5. Well, journalism is certainly not a 9-to-5 job, but beyond your J-O-B. You already had a vision that was running in the background. You had that background process running. Did that make it a lot easier to do the pivot?
Absolutely. It didn't take away the survival fear, but I had known at any rate that I would need to pivot when they asked me to retire and that the age was 65. So I had been worrying about that, in fact. And the great advantage that I had now was that I got a severance package, which would afford me time to create this new venture. And I was very grateful for that. So in that sense, I was so lucky, because if you're a freelancer, you get nothing, because I had a permanent position.
And that certainly does help. It certainly helps. We like to look at creating different and various revenue streams in our model just to reduce vulnerability. If you were to go back now and speak to your 2015 Mariette self, would you advise her differently? And would you have said to her, listen, start this thing? Or would you have stuck to the same plan and launched when you were 2025, for example, when you had to retire anyway? Would that have changed things? Because you did have a permanent position. So when you have a permanent position, you do owe your time to the employer. Would it have changed anything for you? Would you have done the same thing, but just at a later stage, launched your online?
I think theoretically it might have changed it. I suppose if one knows what is coming, you will be prepared. But there was another factor, and that was in 2019, the year before we were retrenched. The magazine started podcasting, and we were the first magazine in our stable to start podcasting, and it was quite a new thing. So we had to make it up as we go along. But that made a huge difference for me, because in 2020, when we were retrenched, I knew this was the direction I would like to go into.
And that's, I think, something else to just bear in mind is that multi-skilled and transferable skills that you build. And one of the things that we have noticed across your podcast platform is the variety of guests that you have on, from entrepreneurs. And I remember that one, I think it was also a Mariette that you had as a guest on your show, that was she had multiple entrepreneurial interests and also multiple revenue streams. And then you have people that are very specialized. So you have a wide variety of guests. And the transferability of skills between them is also interesting to us. One of the things that comes across very clearly for us, Mariette, is your value system. And there's one of the things that it's come across very strongly in all the dealings that we've had with you and the chats we've had. And you asked me at one stage in an interview that we did on your show about the value for value concept. And you've had time to think about that principle and I think reflect on how you do it naturally. So when you look at when you started rebuilding your life and embarking on this wellness podcast, internet-based platform, how did you think about the value that you brought? Because it's something that we know people that are forced to do a career pivot have to consider, what value do I have? And you mentioned it right in the beginning of our discussion. How did you go about thinking that? Did you create a list and say, this is what I have to offer, these are my skills, this is who needs what I have to offer? How did you go about that process?
I wish I had asked myself that same question, you know. Because let me say up front, the only thing I think I would have done differently if I had to go through this journey again, I would have gotten myself a business coach. Because that would have simply helped so much in so many ways. I did get some psychological help after the retrenchment, which I think was a good thing, just about 3 or 4 sessions. But I think the biggest mistake I made in the beginning was not to know my value. I think many people who come from a fairly traditional background probably can relate to the fact that you're supposed to do as much good as you can, you know, but please don't think you're worth something. And I think it would have been a good idea to sit down at that stage and write down my skills. As it is, I think anybody that gets retrenched will feel the effect on their identity. You really have to restructure your identity. And in my case, I felt like a team member of this magazine. And it was a very well-regarded magazine. It started appearing again a year later under a different publisher. So it's fortunately it's still on the shelves. But if I saw myself as a team member, the journalist from Rooi Rooi, so that's how I saw myself. And I had never, to put it this way, stood on my own 2 feet and had to present myself. And I had to find my own voice in that way. I'm not sure if that answered your question.
It does. And I think that you have mentioned something else. And I know you had a business coach and a personal coach on your podcast. And I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. What was the guest's name, Mariette, personal coach?
That was recently. That was Marijke Swartz, yeah.
Marijke Swartz is, I think, an interview that our guests should certainly follow. It made quite an impact with me because we do tend to see ourselves, we give our identity to a team. You were the journalist from Rooi Rooi, and I have at various times in my career been known as the person from this brand, this company. And it is so important that one does see your own value, creates your own identity within a team. It doesn't mean you have to be isolated. And I think one of the bridges that you covered very successfully was overcoming, firstly, the doubt that one faces, and also not isolating yourself. And I know that there were people that stood with you, and I know that there was a lot of camaraderie. How important is it to build that support network before crisis hits? Would you like to comment on that?
Yes, I think that is an extremely good observation. One of my main priorities in life is connection. And that goes for personal relationships right through to work relationships. I often think that the curiosity I have about people is, you know, it's because I like being connected and sharing what they would like to share. So I was very fortunate. I was actually blown away the same day that this magazine closed down. My children, I have a grown-up son, daughter, and a son-in-law at that stage. And then they, all of them pitched in and say, we're going to help you get your own podcast on its way, because they knew about this dream that I'd had in 2015. I actually discussed it with them. So my son-in-law built me a website, and my son and the other two saw to it that I had the right equipment for podcasting, and my daughter composed some music. She's a composer. And so it went on. And it is wonderful to see how people will pitch in and how people will send messages of encouragement and, you know, just stand by you. And getting those connections going beforehand, I would like to turn that around and say, don't forget to keep your connections going, because I don't think one should just keep connections going, you know, in case something happens. But what often happens is that we get so busy that you just focus on work. And I know what that feels like. I really have to watch out for that tendency. And you don't take the trouble to go have a picnic with someone, or, you know, just have a nice koyer with someone, or just keep connection with your closest family members. So I think in that way, one really needs to do that. And of course, also help someone if you see they are in dire straits.
And I think, Mariette, if I can comment on that, one of the ways that you have expanded your ability to connect people, both socially and business-wise, is the platform that you've created. Mm-hmm. And knowing you a bit now, I can see you've done it. And I'm going to say kudos. You've managed to build those connections, add the value. We asked about value earlier. When you and I did it and you interviewed me, you asked a question which I'm going to reverse. And you asked the question, how do you make sure that you remain relevant after 65 being retirement age? And I'm going to say after 60. How does one remain relevant? One of the things that I've noticed about you is the fact that you not only interview guests, but you learn from guests. And I think that's part of the process that makes podcasting journalism so exciting, is that you are constantly learning. And you're questioning your own assumptions, I believe. But how does one do what Mariette Sneyman has done? How does one not only remain relevant, but actually increase your relevance after 60?
Yeah, I think I can answer that in different ways. The first one, I think, is that focus to me is very important. And by focus, I simply mean the way you look at something. You know, you can look at something and you can have very unpleasant thoughts about it, and you can look at something and you can see the value in it. And I think the same goes for aging. Now, I'd like to say upfront that when you get older and your health isn't good, that is very difficult. So I speak as someone who is very healthy, and I know that if you are not, it might be a different picture. But I think if you can function relatively well, in the day and age that we live in, engagement is so easy. It is so accessible to us. And in a certain way, we can thank COVID for that. I realized when I started this platform that the time when I started my platform in order to introduce audience members to professionals that can help them and serve them, there couldn't have been a better time for that, because it was the time when coaches and therapists started working remotely across continents, which is an absolutely wonderful thing if one just thinks about it. But we have all, I mean, anything you want to learn today, you can go onto YouTube and just learn it. The previous generation didn't have that. And we can connect with people in so many ways. We can work flexibly in so many ways. People can put out their own music, their own books. They can self-publish. So I think, though, there are so many advantages to pivoting, or so many things that make it easier to pivot at our age. I hope there was something else I was thinking of that I've now forgotten. But I think, this was the other thing I wanted to say. I really like discovery. To me, journalism contains connection and discovery, and that's why I really, really love it. And discovery needn't stop when you get older. So you can have adventures every day, discover new things. The other side of the coin, of course, is fear, because we are used to, I think, our survival brain protects us and it stays with what is familiar. So there's always that interplay between things can be exciting, things can be really scary. And we have the responsibility to navigate between those two responsibly. But to me, there are many discoveries to be made.
And I think you used the word excitement there. And this is an incredible time to be alive. It can be a frightening time. You've mentioned that fear and the fear response that is part of our DNA that kicks in, clouds our thinking. But if I ask you, what excites you about where you are now? And you've hinted at that. But more specifically, where you're heading? What's on the horizon for Mariëtte Snyman? A YouTube channel in addition to the podcast? New directions for the podcast? Other creative projects? Another book? Where is Mariëtte going?
Michael, I'm very fortunate. I'm part of a mastermind group that sits in the US. And they just open my mind every week when I attend that. So I just keep on seeing new possibilities, like you mentioned the YouTube channel, which is one of my dreams. Of course, being a one-woman show means that I don't always get to my new projects as quickly as I would like to. I tend to be very impatient in order to move forward. But I would say there are so many things that could come. each person I interview, I really, really enjoy what I learn from them. And the one thing I think I would like in future is to do content creation and business development with more ease. It is, I'm sure you know, you and Anita, it is a very consuming thing. It consumes one. And you mentioned relationships. One must really look at work-life balance. But I would much rather have to pay attention to work-life balance than not have anything to do or anything to get excited about.
And I think that keeps you relevant. So I'm going to say, Mariette, at the end of this discussion, I'm going to thank you firstly for joining us today. It has been a privilege. In closing, two things. Your advice to someone who is sitting in the position that you were in back in 2020 that has to reinvent. Three basic steps to start that process. And after that, I'd like you to share with our listeners where they can find the awesome Mariette Snyman.
Thank you, Michael. It's been an honor, and I always enjoy speaking to you. And I would like to, I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I would like to refer viewers to and listeners to the book you wrote, The Take Back Time, because that has helped me in my quest for working in an easier way. But to come to three things. I was thinking of some things. I actually thought of five, if I may, which that I would like to share. The first one is, when you find yourself in the position of needing to pivot, clarity is very, very important. Where do you come from? Where would you like to go? What is your why? Why would you like to go there? And then you just mentioned that stress clouds one's judgment. And if you, for instance, you are retrenched, that plays quite a huge role. So I think journaling or speaking to someone, whether they are a friend or a loved one or a professional, just to get some clarity on what is happening to you. What is happening to you? And then, so clarity is the first one. The next one I would say is control. You must be very clear about what you can control and what you can't. This thing has now perhaps happened. What can you control and what can't you? And the thing that goes hand in hand with that is emotional balance. You can, to a certain extent, that's a psychological discussion, control your emotional balance. But I would really suggest that when you are in that situation where this thing has just happened now, or for whatever reason you have to pivot, please pay attention to your emotional balance and get professional help if you need to. That is very, very important, because you can go ahead, you can forge ahead, but if you don't have clarity and you are not balanced, then you might not make very wise decisions. The other thing is, realize what you're dealing with. I recently did a solo podcast on this whole process that I went through, and I used Martha Beck's, the very well-known life coach and author, her change cycle. And every major life transition, according to this theory, follows a predictable pattern. So you get the death and rebirth. Your old identity is going to die. You have to get a new one. Then you get the dreaming and scheming, where you are creating the blueprint of the next one. The third phase is the hero saga. And that doesn't mean you're going to be a hero there. It just means that you need the tenacity of a hero, because you are going to try and work according to your blueprint. And then you're going to find that a lot of things don't work. So you will have to fine tune. And then the fourth phase she mentioned is the promised land, where you now you sort of where you wanted to be till the next curveball comes. So I would really suggest look at the change cycle. It will give you some clarity on where you are, what you deal with. And then I would just say very shortly, track your journey. Whether you do it by sometimes writing down good things that happen or little challenges that you overcome, just create something that you can see, that you can look back at and see that you have progressed. And the last one is be open to support. Whatever the nature of that is, don't be too proud to accept help.
Yeah. Powerful. And you have done it. So I'm going to say it's an inspiration to our audience. And I'm sure that there's value that our audience will get out of this. Immense value. Mariette, where can people find you?
The best place to go is my website. It's mariettesneeman.co.za. And from there, they can find the podcast, which is also published on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and other places. But I like to present every podcast with copious podcast notes on my website. So there's a search function, or they can look at the sections I've got there, and they are very welcome. And that will also refer them to social media.
Thank you so, so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
And thank you, Michael, for the gracious way and the wise way in which you hold this space. Thank you.
Go to my website, www.mariettesneeman.co.za, for free podcasts and articles on physical and mental health, romantic relationships, parenting, and navigating life's transitions. To follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. Catch you next Tuesday at 9.